Hey, everybody, in this episode of the Timeless After Show, we're breaking down Season 2, Episode 8, The Day Reagan Was Shot. Our Timeless team needs to go back in time not to prevent the attempted assassination of President Reagan, but to stop the assassination of one of their own. And we're going to break it all down with the actor who played Agent Christopher, Karen David, next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
I'm in heaven!
I mean, what? What are we talking about?
Timeless!
Look at that! Yes! If you watch Galavant, this song may seem incredibly familiar, but indeed, this is the Timeless After Show. But it all will be revealed why we're playing this fantastic song. Welcome, everybody, to the Timeless After Show. As always, we're breaking down every episode of Timeless, airing Sunday nights on NBC. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran.
And the girl gushing over here is Alexis Torres.
Hey there, Carrie Lane.
And Takira Shabray.
And one of the people on the couch.
Hey guys, I crashed today.
Yes. No!
All five of us are here.
That's right. Here we go. And the reason all five of us here is not only because it was an awesome episode, but we got an amazing guest here. You may know her from Barry, from Criminal Minds, from Galavant, if you're hearing this song right now. She is an actress and a singer. Ladies and gentlemen, the portrayer of young agent Denise Christopher, Karen David.
I feel like over the years, you know, that we've talked about Galavant and Once Upon a Time and all that. It's just so nice. And Izzy now has turned into a cop and gone back into the 80s. She left her corset and the sword behind and just, you know, told Galavant, you know, I got to go through this little time machine now. I'll see you later.
It's very common on this show. So, you know, time jumping and all that good stuff.
Why not?
Well, welcome back to AfterBuzz.
Thank
We're excited
you.
To have you again. Yes. So let's just jump right into it. I mean, we've talked about before your other shows that you've done here, but what brought you in the orbit of Timeless? Was it the agent reached out to you and said, hey, this is a great part, you should read for it?
It was so funny because I remember my agent sent me the breakdown. He said, listen, you know, casting really would love to see you. To play young Denise Christopher as played by Sakina Jaffrey. And I was like, what? Because I love Sakina. I've been a huge fan of hers for years. I mean, she's like the penultimate actress that I think a lot of, you know, South Asian actors and actresses look up to and could only dream of like being in the same scene with her, let alone playing a character that she's playing. I was so excited, but kind of horrifyingly nervous too, because nothing comes close to Sakina, and I hope her ears are going to burn because, I can't talk enough about how wonderful a human being she is, let alone her talent and beauty and everything. But, it was during pilot season and it was so crazy busy, and my agent said, listen, they want to see you for this, but totally understand because you have a lot of meetings and stuff. If you don't want to go up for this, it's okay. We can pass on it. But I said, no. First of all, I love Timeless. I'd seen the pilot and a couple of episodes in season one, and I had to catch up and binge watch anyway. It was on my list. And I liked it from then, and I love Sakina. And I said, no. Give me the script and I'll read it. And of course, I fell in love with it. The writing was so good on so many levels. It was such an important episode because the storyline, it's not every day that you see a young South Asian woman who is gay and has to come to terms with that. And it's such a big thing, especially in our community, because back then it was just unacceptable. You know, not a lot of people were as accepting of it as obviously now times have changed. But it was just such an important storyline and not... No cliches of the typical South Asian family and whatnot. There were so many things I loved about this script. And of course, yes, I was very, very nervous. And I told my agents, I said, no, I'm gonna go do it. And I went in and I love these casting are just so wonderful. And the writing was so good. And I had 13 pages to be off book for. But the writing was so good that when it's that good, 13 pages is nothing. It just flows, you know, and you become that. They make your job easier. So I felt like it went well. And I didn't know. And then, like, I was like, oh, gosh. I said, is Sakina going to see this? I was like, oh, God. Like, I was watching episodes, like, saying, what was she doing with her hair? How's she moving? How's she walking? Her posture? I felt like I was at drama college, you know, because that's the first couple of things when you're embodying someone else, another character. Mm-hmm. You kind of have to pick up the mannerisms and all that. So, and especially American accent, too. I was like, oh, my God. You know? It's like thinking American and being American is completely different from being and thinking English. So in such a wonderful way. So obviously I got the call later, a week later, and they said, oh, you got the role. And I was like so excited and so horrified too. I'm like, oh my God. And then, but yeah, here we are. And now I get to talk to you guys about it.
Well, Agent Christopher, somebody on the show, we've only seen snippets of her life outside of working with the Timeless team. So when you get this part, you start talking to Sakina about kind of what she thinks and what the backstory that she has for Agent Christopher?
So when I went to the table read, I got this big warm welcome and they were all giving these hugs. I was like, oh, wow. I said, you guys are really nice. I could get used to this. In fact, I expect a hug every time now I walk on set. I said, you're laying down the gauntlet. And so it was after the hug fest, Sakina was so kind and she's like, that's me. She was like, and I was like, oh, I love her so much. It was love at first sight. And she was just so wonderful. And after our table read, we went out for a glass of wine on an afternoon, a sunny afternoon. Went for a glass of wine and escargot. Oh, at the Stretch restaurant. She's really nice. Yes, she took us. Yeah, I liked her. She's got good taste. So we went and we just bonded. And I asked her to read a bunch, if not all, I think it was all the lines actually. And I recorded her and she was so kind enough to give her time because she's so busy and she has a million things to do. But she was so great in like recording the lines just so I can hear any inflections or her mannerisms. And it was so funny because, you know, it wasn't a normal like having a glass of wine, catching up with a friend or something, although it felt like I knew her for years. But I was kind of like looking at her and staring at her like, you know, like analyzing, you know. And she, I'd be like, I'm so sorry, but I am analyzing you. I'm just watching everything you do. And I'd be like, and she'd catch me in a stare where I'd be like, she can't even do it without laughing. But she was so good because it was those little things that I hope made a huge difference when it came to going on set. And
definitely.
And it's nice to hear that about the actors, because like we already love them so much as fans. And like when you hear that the actors are just like these wonderful kind people, it just like makes you love them that much more,
you know, because it's always the way when you're the new kid going onto a new set. It's like being the new kid at a new school. You want everyone to like you and hopefully you can fit in and get on, but they're just, I mean, I got hugs within minutes. Patterson and I bonded, obviously, because he, as soon as he opened his mouth, I was like, a Brit! I was so excited. And of course, I met the whole production team and Sean, Ryan, and Alex, our director. She was a Brit, too. I felt like we were at home. And it was brilliant. And they were just so warm and so welcoming. And the cast, too, were just so wonderful that I was super excited.
Well, speaking of things that, talking about the Love Fest that was there on Timeless, if you want to learn and love and have fun and grow in all areas of your life, for those who do, we've got a podcast just for you. And that's Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition, created by our one and only AfterBuzz TV founder, Maria Menounos, and drops on iTunes every single Friday. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you never had. So all you have to do is go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. And when you do, let her know it was the Timeless team here at ABTV that got you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition. Check it out. It was one of those sweet jams.
Yeah. I like it.
I was trying so hard not to bop, and I was like, well, it's happening.
Why
are you stopping?
Yes. I know, but I was just like, because Frank's trying to deliver some really good stuff, and I was like,
she's bringing the heat. Bringing the heat.
Right.
No.
Real quick, I feel like this was a really great episode of this series, because it was such a personal story of one of the Timeless team that we don't know a lot of. So, for you, Karen, what was it like to actually, it's one thing to be a guest star, but you're playing such a critical character for the show, and one we don't really know a lot about. So what was it like to be able to kind of step in such a meaty role?
that's an actor's dream. And especially when you're a guest star, that's even like an even bigger dream, you know, that you get such a meaty role. And having to, you know, having had the time now to get to know Sakina, we were kind of gutted that we couldn't do a scene together. And Sakina at one point was saying how nice it would have been if that was a possibility, but that would really muck up things. I don't think you're allowed to be, you're not yet, at least, I don't know, you're not allowed to be in the same room together, your past and present version of yourself, which could be quite exciting and scary at the same time. But yeah, that's the one thing that we had in an ideal world would have been so much fun. But Sakina kind of lit the path, and she was, I asked her, I said, if there was anything in particular that she wanted to, if any ideas she had for me to incorporate into the character, if she had any isms and whatnot. Mm. And she was really funny. She goes, no, you know, she's just a very straight up lady. You know, what you see is what you get. And she's like, she doesn't smile that much, maybe a little bit. But she said, you know, she's very focused, obviously has a huge responsibility on her shoulders, responsible for everyone. Mm-hmm. And has this backstory that we all found out about. And I was so moved by her storyline, especially with her father, not knowing any of that. That was and that scene where Abigail and oh my gosh, and Claudia, we had so much fun with that scene. It was such a moving moment when they tell Denise about, you know, her future,
her family. Mm-hmm.
And that there is such a thing as where two women can get married in the future, and you can be happy and have the family you wanted. And that was such a moving, like, I tried not to ugly cry because I was trying to rein it in a bit, but it was hard. It was such an emotional moment, but Sakina made my job easier because she was so welcoming to me and just, like I said, lit the path ahead of me and said, you know, it's important that you breathe life into the character too. But for me, it was also important if there was anything that we can tie in together. And one thing she said, what would be nice was when my mom, played by Pooja, who is so beautiful and wonderful, if when she comes to visit me in the hospital, if she could, you know, do that very mummy type of, you know, kiss on my forehead, and she would do the same thing to her children in the future. So there's some sort of connection, you know, with that. And it was little things like that. I mean, Sakina's attention to detail and her ideas were just so brilliant. And one thing about our writers, Arika and Lauren, it was like girl power, because we had Alex, who is a female director, and then we had these two wonderful women writing this incredible episode and about a strong, diverse female character. It just ticked off all the boxes. I mean, it really was like the stars aligned, and I just felt so honored to be a part of it.
Well, we heard about you, how great you loved this episode. Why don't we all have an opportunity to say how much we love Karen?
Do we have three hours? I love you guys so much.
I was so completely blown away. I think, and not just because you're here, because, you know, but this was by far my absolute favorite episode of Timeless.
Like, same.
Period. Point blank. Season one, season two. It trumps the Jessica's Alive. But I mean, like, the kiss, all of that, just because it gave us a different light into a character's background, and it wasn't just a typical, oh, let's hop to a time, let's try to change a historical event. And although I love those, but I loved it. And I mean, your mannerisms, the isms that you picked up on, I mean, you nailed them so flawlessly. My notes watching the episode was like, yes! Like,
you're going to make me ugly cry now. Like, you guys got to stop. I'm going to ugly cry right now.
Yeah, and it's honestly, and it's again, not just because you're here, but the infliction of your voice, the way that you like turn to blank stare at something because she blank stares at stuff. I mean, like, I picked up on the small things. I'm like, she did such an amazing job, and that's such a burden. I feel like it's hard enough to be an actress, but to be an actress playing an actress in a, I mean, it's just like, you know.
Oh, every minute. I kid you not. Every minute. Yeah. I was horrified. I really was. Amazing. Because there's big shoes to fill. Yeah. You know, Sakina is such a great, great actress. Mm. And I just, you know, there was a wonderful pressure. I mean, I was reminded that constantly by myself, like, you've got big shoes to fill, and you kid, you better get this right, because Sakina's going to keep it real, and we'll have a debrief, as she said afterwards. We still have to do our debrief, so we're going to do it this week. There was a lot of wonderful pressure, and not a minute went by where I didn't think, oh gosh, you know, I gotta do her justice and the character justice.
Yeah. Oh no, you absolutely did. The transition, I think one moment that stood out to me is when we see Adrian Christopher in the present. Mm-hmm. And the do you know how long I waited to have a device for the flash drive? Yeah. Like that transitioned the character so well, because I'm like, yeah, that was totally her then, and it was like so funny, and then like it's such a nice moment. And so yeah, you definitely embodied her so well, and it's such a pleasure to watch you.
Oh, like, thank you so
much. It's like,
so
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, that's her. It's like a young version.
Yeah. The tears fell, for sure.
Yeah, this episode, I'm with the girls on this one, that the fact that this episode was probably my favorite out of the series, mostly because as a person who is Filipino, bisexual, gone through the whole thing, I actually haven't actually told my mom, if you're watching, sorry. surprise. But I remember sitting there and you were talking, like, when you do have that scene when you're looking at the laptop and you're talking to them and saying, like, I can't believe that two women could be married, and then you're looking at your kids and how the fact that you're trying to mentalize everything, it hit me. And then seeing her at the very, I'm like trying not to cry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Seeing how happy she was at the very end when she saw her girls come out, and just realizing that she's remembering everything. Mm-hmm. And it was so quick, but you can just see it in her face and how she like hugged them a little bit differently. Like everything has changed. Yes. And oh my God, I cannot
keep it together.
She's happier. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. And it made me feel like, you know, even though it's the present now, so I didn't have to go through anything specifically like that, it made me feel like, oh man, if I was a teenager watching this and having to hide all these things like I did back in the day and not having somebody to do that, it would just change my entire life at that point. Yeah. And it was the most moving episode I've ever seen, and I loved it.
You know, that scene that we talk about, I mean, and hats off to Abigail and to Claudia, because on the laptop it was green screen, so I didn't see any pictures. I didn't know what was it was just a green screen.
Wow.
So but Abigail was so fantastic, and you know, she was throwing things out there like, here you are with your kids, and here and she's such a team player, and made that scene, like, it helped me so much when we were going through the different pictures, because I had to just imagine what I was seeing. Mm. But that scene was very important for me and very moving, because I think on a general level, which is so important, is that you have to love yourself, and you have to love who you are, and you have to be proud of yourself, this essentially was her having the courage to be her authentic self. Mm-hmm. And that's just so important, especially for a lot of young viewers that were watching. I wanted that message to come across too, that you are perfect and wonderful how you are, and you should love yourself and not, you know, and I think that journey, Sakina and I talked about this, that journey for her to come from a place of guilt in many ways, you know, because she didn't want to put herself in danger, because she's worried about her mother. Her mother's lost her husband.
Yeah.
And I can't even imagine what that must be like to have a daughter who's then back putting herself on the line as well. And you know, that's all she has is her mom. They only have each other. So there was a lot of guilt for her. And so the last thing she wanted to do was to add this, oh, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm also gay. Mm-hmm. And I think it was more for, the guilt part on that, because she just didn't want to disappoint her mother in other ways too, which is something that we can all relate to, you know? Yeah. We always want to be in our good books with our parents.
Yeah. Or at least we try. Know? Sorry, Mom.
Yeah.
That was that tie-in later, that the fact that she came out to her mom young meant the mother was in her life the whole time and knows the kids. And the line at the end when Adrian Christopher's just like, oh, I couldn't imagine my life without her in it. You're just like,
crazy.
You don't even know.
I know.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
But it's just like, aw. We got a question from the chat. I know we talked about a really wonderful and powerful scene, but Lovely Always says, hi, Karen, what was your favorite scene to shoot for Timeless?
Oh, there were many. You know, because I had a lot of scenes with Abigail and Claudia. First of all, Claudia's American accent is just blows my mind.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that she was Australian and until, you know, in between takes, I'm like, huh? What? I'm like, you an Aussie? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, no. I was like, really? And I was like, wow. So you're good. But they had this, we'd be giggling all the time like little girls. Because they'd have this Cagney and Lacey song.
Yeah.
I don't know if you see, like, I don't even want to do it because they do it so well, you know. And Abigail, you know the hospital scene in the beginning?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They'd be standing there and I'm on the bed looking at them. And there's Abigail between takes with Claudia saying, it's Cagney and Lacey and Cagney and Lacey. And they'd have this whole dance. And I'm just like, okay, I'm supposed to be really serious right now. Like, you're not helping because I'm the worst corpse on set. And that would be an ongoing joke for us. It's like Cagney and that whole Cagney and Lacey song and dance thing. Aww. Because they knew I was in Galavant too. So they felt like, you know, we should just break into song and say, sorry, Mom. Like that kind of thing. but I loved, there was a scene that was cut actually, which Vishal, who played my fiance, that we did. And it was so funny that, so when the family comes in, they just barge in and they're like doting over me saying, are you all right? You know, it was really funny because obviously it's an arranged marriage and there's Vishal's and he's nervous and I'm looking at him really awkward and the mother's doting on him trying to fix his shirt and everything and my mom's fixing my hair and I'm like, stop it. And he's saying, stop it to his mom. And then we're looking at each other trying not to laugh. And it was such a lovely moment. Aww. You know, like they both knew what was happening, how awkward it was. And oh my gosh, look at our parents kind of thing. And yet there is this respect and love that they both share for their family and for the whole meaning of family. And I love that scene so much. But you know, sadly that got cut, but it was such a fun, scene, which sets up a lot for what, you know, she must have been going through, you know, knowing that she feels like she has a duty to her mother, but at the same time, she wants to be true to who she is, and she doesn't know how to articulate that yet, you know, and Cagney and Lacey played a huge part in her coming to terms with, you know, and loving who she was. So that journey for me, that scene was really pivotal for me. And besides the ugly crying scene.
There's also that moment with Gia talking about being like first generation and wanting to give respect to your family and like all that pressure that's on you as well, which that also makes the episode so great because it's talking about all those people who go through that of like, okay, you have all this pressure from your parents and everything. Mm-hmm. And it just it encapsulated it so well.
Yeah. And then the scene where I got, you know, sacked with Matt Lanta.
I was like, oh, was that horrible?
No, it was so horrible. when we were doing take after take, which I wasn't complaining about, you know, because I knew all my girlfriends and some of my guy friends too were just like, oh, you lucky thing. I was like, I know. They said, was it good? Was it really nice? I was like, yeah, it was really nice. I even told my husband, he goes, oh. So Matt Lanta rescued you there. I said, yeah. He goes, was it nice? I said, oh, yeah. I was like, heck yeah. I said, I get paid for this. And I was teasing Matt, right? I said, Matt, when he's lying on top of me because he's protecting me.
Of course. That's right. That's what we're calling it nowadays.
On the asphalt.
Whoa. Is that what the kids are calling it?
Cut it scene? Wait a second.
He was lying on top of me, you know, covering, protecting me.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. This is a family show. And I just blurted out to him. I was like, Matt, yep. And he's still lying on top of me until they say cut. I was like, you know, a lot of my female and male friends would be very jealous of me right now. They would love to be in this position. And his face went beet red. I
said, oh! Yes!
I made Matt Lanter blush. Oh, yes! Tomorrow. Oh, he's such a gent. He's so lovely. Has the most beautiful wife and beautiful baby girl. Mm-hmm. And just so lovely. But yeah, that was a funny moment.
Oh, well, get it.
You find yourself at the bottom of that little Lanter dog pile there. Because we find out that the mothership, Rittenhouse, is sent back to 1981. They think it's around the assassination of President Reagan. Mm-hmm. So they go there to see what the situation is. And they see who they don't realize is a young Agent Christopher there, but with a laser scope on her back. Yeah. So
that reveal was great.
Yeah, yeah, that was insane. I was just like, what?
That was such a big scene to shoot. Yeah. There was so much happening, you know, in that moment.
Where was that shot for that whole big kind
that
of attempted assassination?
That was downtown L.A. Mm. It's also the same studios, the downtown L.A. studios where they shot Mad Men. So everything looked quite familiar, you know?
Familiar.
And just the building and the start of it just leans towards the 80s. It's just, it felt like that, like you were in New York and it it was... It was great. It's a big scene. Big scene, yeah.
Cool. The Timeless team go back there, and the first thing they do, they have to get their clothes, of course. And Gia is excited to be back in the 80s. So she says, not only does she get their clothes, but she also gets vintage Ray-Bans, some leg warmers, and a great blue eyeshadow.
Yeah. I thought Carrie was going to wear blue eyeshadow today. I did. I was like, man, should I wear mine? I was like, but I don't want to be the only one.
Oh, no.
I didn't text her. It wasn't arranged, but I did thought that Carrie was
I was rushing here and wanted to be ready for
her
guest.
She's got the great hair.
Yeah.
There we go. I did blue my hair. No, I'm just kidding.
But I love that they like really hammered in how much of a millennial Gia was.
Yeah.
Because she just could not keep her language like in the era. And I was just like, girl, why are you hashtagging things in the 80s?
Oh, it was so funny. Man bun.
Yeah.
You know, gator.
Hashtag.
I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
I love that.
It's so sweet. The
attention to detail. Do you agree with Gia's choices? Yeah. If you were to go back in 1981 and you do a little shopping spree, would those be the kind of things that you would want to grab?
Vintage Ray-Bans, sure.
Yeah,
that could resell for sure. Eyeshadow, that's a product, not so much. But like, what was the other item again?
Leg warmers?
Oh, leg warmers. My mom's still
that was
hers.
I mean, that's cool, but that's no resale value.
Well, I have to give a shout out to Lauren, who was one of the writers of the episode. She is a terrific, roller skater. And so in
is
the
that
beginning, the girl that was roller skating, that was
no
like,
way.
I was like, oh my god,
that was so
oh
cool.
Gosh, that is so neat.
Yeah. She was so good. I was like, oh my gosh, so. I said, just annoying. You can roller skate, write amazing scenes. Just go away. Don't talk to me anymore. She's so talented.
Interesting historical fact. Thank you, chat. Emily Hughes says, love the Kiss on My List Hall & Oates song thrown in there. It was number 9 on the Billboard charts that week.
Yeah.
Wow.
The attention to detail. Yes. I love it.
Attention to detail. Yeah.
Oh, man. I actually didn't know all the ins and outs of the assassination of Reagan. I didn't know that he was doing it to get Jodie Foster's attention.
Is that
which
wild?
Is crazy.
I had heard about it, but vaguely?
Yeah, I knew that he was trying to get a woman's attention. I didn't know it was Jodie Foster. Like,
the mentality of, like, I'm going to shoot someone and she's going to want me. Like, that is just crazy.
I mean.
But can we go back for a second to Matt being on top of you? But which team are you? Are you Team Lucy?
Oh no, don't make me choose.
You have to choose.
You have to.
What?
Don't put pressure on her.
I love them all.
Just a giant love fest. It's
I mean, look, I had a hug fest a minute. I walked on set. Yeah. I mean, I can't give a leap.
But because you've watched the episodes, as a Timeless fan, you have to pull a little bit one way or the other.
I have catching up to do. So I've seen some spoilers of what happens and stuff, but because I'm still on season 1.
Well, then we don't want to talk about
that. I have seen what transpires.
Yeah.
And you know, I do love all of them. Sure, I do. Okay. I know that's the most boring answer. I want something more exciting.
No,
but
okay.
It's a very
like
safe
thrill.
Answer.
Yeah. It's all good.
Yeah. We like the thrill.
Well, this is a safe place.
Once you prevent the attempted killing of Agent Christopher, we kind of split up into two areas where we get Lucy and Gia. They follow you to make sure that you're taken care of, while Wyatt and Rufus, they try to track down the sleeper agent.
Yes. That storyline was actually kind of sad.
So sad.
Oh, rough. Yeah.
I was bawling. Poor guy.
Yeah.
His family, his brother. It was
definitely
sad.
Made but you know question what? The agents, though, because you're like, maybe they're not all evil.
Exactly.
But I love that.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Yeah.
As soon as the sleeper agent said Zach, like he gave a name to his brother, I was like, okay, Zach's going to pop up somewhere down the line. But as soon as I put two and two together that Rittenhouse is targeting families that are in need and really using their weakness to their advantage. You know, I already instantly thought of Jessica because I have been saying
thank you.
Thank you.
I've been calling it from the get-go that she is Rittenhouse all day. And I was like, huh, bartender, not of money. Because some of our fans were like, well, why is Jessica in Rittenhouse? Because she doesn't come from wealth, because we've seen that... Mm. You know, most mm-hmm. of Rittenhouse is, you know, of high
yeah.
class.
Yeah.
But that explains why, that she is a sleeper agent or yeah. a whatever the case may be, to bring her brother back. And I mean, like, this whole episode was just...
Especially what happens. Especially what happens in the end too. I'm like, I'm extremely suspicious.
Yeah, I know we're.
Now.
I know we're trying.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. Yet. Yeah, I'm just saying.
I know we'll get there.
I have feelings about that.
Yeah, I know we'll get there. But yeah, that sleeper agent thing kind of.
I was like ready to just like table flip. Mm-hmm. I was just, like, keep it together, mm-hmm. Alexis. Oh my God.
So we get Lucy and Gia in the hospital with you.
Yeah.
And I do like how you're like, thanks, Lucy, but I'm not really into you.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
So the weird
yes,
caress
so
that they do that Lucy and Gia do with each other.
So funny.
Weird, like, they're like, yes. We're together.
They're like, okay. I could not stop laughing. I was like, you know what? You guys don't even need a mirror because my reactions are a mirror. That was like 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh God, it was so funny. Because just the way it just, they're just so good, both of them. And it's just, yeah, you know. And they were, and we did so many takes where they were ad-libbing and just, oh my God, it was so funny. And I have to keep a straight face. It's really difficult for someone who corpses very easily on set. They were so charming and wonderful.
Sorry to interrupt. Is corpses a British term?
Yeah, when you corpse on set.
Okay.
I know,
Dominic
right?
Tipper was in for The Expanse, and she said the same word. And we're all like, what is that word?
It's like dying, like yeah. kill yeah. me now, like with that, yeah.
We thought
yeah.
it meant like you can pull it together faster, but not like dying. like, please
opposite.
Explain. Well, then there's a moment later, kind of jumping ahead, though, but I love when they see you and you're sorry, and they're just like, okay, I'm not hitting on you, but you look great.
Right. She did look great.
It was a very nice color.
It's so okay. weird. Because I really wanted it to be the opposite, where Agent Christopher's just like, oh, hello. And like, really yeah. aggressive.
Oh, trust me. Like, that happened in between takes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, hello. Like, no. It's
so
like
that's the, on the extra DVD features.
You know? Yeah. Like, oh, I love those glasses. Where'd you get them? I'm like, Abigail's so good. She's very Yay. Stylish. Their suits were so great. Claudia was like, this tweed is so itchy.
Oh.
And I was like, I do not envy you. But, you know, she pulls it off so well. Mm-hmm. And with the hair.
Her
I mean,
hair.
Just, I love the hair.
Yes.
Both of them. I mean, yes. they look. I mean, they have such a great costume and hair and makeup department. I mean, can you imagine? Every week, they're going somewhere different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they have to prepare
That's crazy.
And design all those costumes for that time period. And, you know, it's a lot of planning. It's a wonderful challenge, which these guys make look so easy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely a lot of work.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So basically the crux of it is they want to make sure that Agent Christopher not only stays alive, but also feels free to come out and be who, as you were expressing, your authentic self. So that way that her family in the future still remains intact. So they end up going to your house to try to convince you. And that party looks very dull. At the beginning, it just seems like a very somber occasion.
Yeah.
Which is supposed to be the idea of like, oh, we're celebrating your engagement.
Yeah.
But it's like, all right. For you, just like, you're just sitting there quietly on this chair. Just like, oh, the door's knocking. All right, I'll go. Yes, anything. Yeah.
Please let me go.
It's like probably loads of people she doesn't really know. And her mother's mm-hmm. so excited mm-hmm. that her daughter's finally settling down with a really good guy, you know, who ticks off all the boxes, comes from a really good family. I mean, that's what a parent wants at the end of the day. They want their children to be happy. And so, but that was her idea, her mom's mm-hmm. idea of what she thought mm-hmm. would be her happiness. But you can clearly see on Denise's face that she's like, oh God, this is really tough, you know, because she's trying to obviously put a front and mm-hmm. go along with this all. But it's kind of hard when you've got Cagney and Lacey knocking on the door every 2 seconds and stalking you and saying, no, don't do it. And then, you know, it's, I think the way they've written the chemistry between the three of them, getting to know each other and helping her through this, it's just so wonderful. It really
yeah.
felt, you know, it's genuine. It's so genuine and it felt so real. Like I said, they made my job so easy and working with such a brilliant cast who are so good, especially when it comes to moments like when you're staring into a green screen. I mean, it's just, that's when the imagination has to kick in. And if you can work with some people that are so good, then it just, you know, It's like butter. Mm-hmm. It makes your job easy.
Well, I think a scene like that is, I feel like anytime anybody has a momentous life choice ahead mm-hmm. of them, they would love for somebody to come from the future to tell them, mm-hmm. hey, everything works out if you
right.
do this.
Right?
Yeah. So not to be in a scene where you get to have that huge life choice, but you get to have the special genre layer
yeah.
of somebody from the future saying, mm-hmm. do this, trust us, it's all going to work out great. Yeah. What's it like to be in a scene like that where you get to have that additional kind of layer on top of it?
Oh my gosh, it makes me want to have that, like you said. Like I'm ruined for life now. I'm like, why can't I have future me, you know, come and tell me? Just it's everything that we want is reassurance, you know. Mm-hmm, yeah. I think it's part of, maybe it's a passage of growing up where you begin to be comfortable in your own skin and where you're able to just let go. And it's such a wonderful feeling when you just don't give a toss about what other people think, only the people mm-hmm. whose opinions you care about. But it's a wonderful feeling of reassurance where you just, I don't know if you grow into it, and it's, without sounding, you know, too woo woo woo, it was a reminder to me that you, as we grow up more each year, I don't want to say get older, that's boring. as we grow up a little more each year, hopefully we become wiser, and then we realize that we don't need to be scared in the unknown. And what we have to do is just trust ourselves, mm-hmm. you know? And yeah. I think the more life experience we have and go through life and stuff, you just learn more about yourself, about what makes you tick and what doesn't. And I wanted to explore those things with, you know, young Denise, because I mean, I know obviously Sakina and this legacy that she's creating with this wonderful character for the show, but it was trying to find, being in that moment of discovery, self-discovery, but also having a bit of the naivety and the fear of the unknown. It's an actor's dream, because those are so many mm-hmm. textures, you know, to play mm-hmm. in the mind of Denise. So I feel really blessed to have been able to be part of such good writing and, mm-hmm. and storyline.
How does everybody feel about how present-day Agent Christopher was handling the situation initially? She just decided, I'm just going to sit at work, bury myself in paperwork, and not worry about the idea that my family could blink out of existence at any moment.
It made Horrible. Sense.
Yeah.
It was sad, but it makes sense. Because you're like, yeah, somebody who's like, I need to focus, I need to do something, but I like the, you should be home with your family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but I think yeah. maybe that she was trying to run yes. away from that.
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't think she wanted to go home, spend time with them, and then see them slowly disappear. Mm-hmm. Or yeah. herself yes. disappear. Yeah. Like, I just thinking about it probably was enough for her to be like, nope, I'll just stay home. It's fine. Because yeah. I already said bye, gave my kisses. Yeah. I'm good.
I mean, Sakina played that. Oh, my gosh. Oh, that yeah. scene with her and Goran. I mean, just, I ugly cried then, too. When I was
yeah.
that.
Yeah. yeah, same.
To see her, because she is the backbone.
Mm-hmm.
of the team,
mm-hmm.
and so she has this responsibility to keep it together, and to, she's the one who has to be the reassuring one to everyone else,
right,
and,
yeah.
and focus, you know, they look up to her, she's the base of it all, mm-hmm. so that I think that's what I found so moving, was to see her vulnerable, to see
exactly.
her like
mm-hmm.
choked up, and just coming to terms with that was mm-hmm. just, yeah, that's it. I was like, that's it.
It was beautiful.
I was really sure. scared, though, that something was going to happen to you mm-hmm. in the past, and that we'd actually see Agent. Maybe it's because of Infinity War, it messed me up, but like, which I won't get into.
No,
if we haven't seen it.
No, spoilers.
I got you, Virginia. I got you. I remember Friday. I remember.
Yes.
But yeah. So I was scared that we were going to see that, because I feel like Timeless is like Game of Thrones. Sometimes you yeah. never know who's
yeah.
going to just disappear or get shot. But I figured if they decided to go that route, that we would try to get her back in some way, shape, and form, and
yeah.
then we'd have like a separate mission to be like, we have to get Nick and Christopher back.
Yeah.
yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, Matt. Rescued me.
That's
so
right.
He had
That's
my
right.
back.
Yeah,
he
so we're all good here.
He,
okay?
had, he yeah. had more than your back.
he had the back, the front, the side.
The whole mat.
All of it.
The whole mat. Hashtag Matt's dog pile.
Oh, no. Oh, no. You just stopped it.
You
now.
Did it.
I'm right.
Oh, my God. Oh. She's never going to talk to me again.
Anytime he tackles somebody, that's going to be our set.
Yeah. exactly. That hashtag Matt dog pile.
Yep. Oh, yeah. So
well, speaking of giving shout-outs, though, we've got our clock blocker of the week.
Yes, we do. We have our clock blocker of the week. Slay real slim. So this week it is, and please forgive me if I'm mispronouncing it, but Mara, kind of like Sarah, but with an M. Mara?
Mara?
Mara. Barney? Yes. So she said they already shot Rufus in the finale of season one as a cliffhanger, so I don't think that they'll repeat the same thing twice. Oh. So something obviously that was really big in this episode was this whole, like, how is Rufus going to die? Is he going to die? Like, how are they going to save him? So I, that's our clock blocker of the week, only because if they already shot him, I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think? Like, what do you think is, I guess we'll save it for predictions, yep. But resonate on mine. That. Resonate on that. That it was interesting. It brought up a good question for this week.
Well, we'll hop into there real quick. I guess, one, we have just two last things. We've got Rufus and Gia. Yes. Them decided, like, we want to spend all our time together now. No matter how much time I have left, I want to spend it with you.
Oh.
And then so we also have the reveal of Jessica at the end of this episode.
That was the worst.
So many things.
She turns
out
to be pregnant, guys. I know.
She's not pregnant.
Lies.
She is not pregnant.
Come on.
She knows what he's after. Like, she knows because he's like, what's going on? Your brother. She is not pregnant. There is no way.
Really? You think she's lying?
Oh, she's absolutely lying. Yes. You don't think she's lying?
I mean, I guess she could easily say, oh, you missed it. We jumped back in time and then there's no more baby. Like maybe we didn't get pregnant. Maybe we weren't even dating. Like, I guess you can change that pretty quickly. Like, oh, we didn't consummate our love that night. It didn't happen. Like, I don't know. I don't think she's lying. I think, I don't know.
Well, I guess that gives us a chance to hop into predictions. I feel like we have some thoughts.
We do.
Yes, Carrie, no.
I'm all before predictions,
pre-prediction.
Jeff in the booth reminded us, so clockbarkers, everybody watching, we need to watch the finale live, the finale for the show, because the show creator tweeted the show is at risk for cancellation, so watch it live, and then look at his tweets for any more instructions. So then Emily also chimed in, you know, watch it, it's 2-hour finale, and it's on earlier this week, so... coming up. So make sure to watch it live.
Yes.
So then that way, you know, that's how they know the viewership and that helps for renewal.
Can guys, I also just add, having gone through this whole thing with Galavan, I was tweeting about this too to the fans about that. And by the way, Timeless on Sunday trended on Twitter. It was something like 82,000 almost tweets. Yeah. And there's so much love for the show. Mm-hmm. It's got 100% critics rating and it's got like a 96% audience score on something on Rotten Tomatoes and all that. Mm-hmm. So they are fresh. But one thing that counts for ratings, which I didn't even know about, I learned this all from the fans that were like really gung-ho, and I know the Timeless fans are just as supportive too, that if you're going to watch it, set your DVR as well. And when you watch it on playback, it's really important you do it within 3 days or 7 days, because those ratings count, ideally within 3 days. After it's been originally broadcast. And don't fast forward through the commercials, because the minute you press fast forward, the rating doesn't count.
Wow.
I didn't know because the whole thing with ratings is
So how does that affect it when you watch it on like Hulu?
On Hulu, I don't have Hulu.
They have commercials and you cannot fast forward.
No.
Before and after. I pay for the extra Hulu.
So
there's no commercials.
I mean, it's not for
so does that work?
What do you pay for it? So
I mean, it's your the fact
I
that
I just
want to
make sure
it.
My vote counts.
Yes.
No. I mean,
to be counted.
Because NBC has on demand, right? Where you go to the site and you can watch it.
Yeah.
So that's the best place to watch it, because then you can watch their commercials. I always say, have a cup of coffee, have a cup of tea.
Yeah.
And if any of the advertisements inspire you to go buy product, that's great. But don't fast forward through the commercials.
That is
I make
know.
I make pizza rolls while I'm waiting for commercials to go by, because those take forever. So
they deserve many seasons. There's not enough shows like this.
And we did that last year. We didn't get a season. We were like, there's no season two. It's not happening. Then all of a sudden, just kidding. You guys really wanted a season two. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll give it to you.
Yep.
Because the fans were demanding it. So let's do it again.
I feel if anybody should have the honor of making our first prediction, I mean, it should be Karen. Feel free. I mean, it's just us. Karen, it's just us. Nobody else
can
watch it.
They already turned off. Ideal world. I just want happy endings for everyone, okay?
Okay. Never mind.
Skip. Such a cheater, aren't I? I'm just like, a happy ending for all. They break out into song. Yeah, I'd like
happy endings
and a musical episode of Timeless.
Oh, yes.
Heard it here first. That's my prediction.
Yeah, but
I can feel it.
Take my viewership. Bringing up a viewer's comment before, and I feel we had talked about before prediction wise that we had thought Flynn was Lucy and Wyatt's son from the future.
Yes.
Ooh.
Which
we did talk about that too on one of the things. So I think that's still a possibility.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't been, if he knows that, he hasn't been as pushy. Because I know we met his mom, but still. It's like,
no.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like nah.
And real quick, because I know we have to wrap, he finally answered the question on how he got the journal specifically.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that part of the episode. So he did mention the whole future thing. So the whole whether or not we can change the future. So,
Virginia?
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going to go ahead and say she is not pregnant. And something is going to happen with Lucy and Wyatt. Like, we are going to get rid of Jessica. She's got to go.
Yep.
She's got to go. I haven't met them, so yeah, I'm cool. Yeah. I think she's got to go.
I think I know who she's shipping.
Yeah, no, straight up.
Oh, for sure.
Well, I feel like Jessica, I mean, certainly in the original timeline, no affiliation with Rittenhouse, but when Rittenhouse goes back and saves her brother, I'm sure that they kind of leverage her to become a sleeper agent within them.
Yep.
So the whole time that she's known Wyatt in this new timeline, she's always been kind of had one foot with Rittenhouse. So I feel like she's an maybe not a willing accomplice.
I think she is a sleeper agent in 2018 because I know this whole future thing, us traveling to the future, is going to come up. So I think future-wise, there's something that's happened.
Yep.
She's been placed as a sleeper agent, and they do not know it yet. And her goal is to...
Yeah, I'm gonna.
Gosh, you guys are good.
No, that's exactly what I was gonna say. I was gonna say that, you know, way later in the future, Zach is her brother's name.
Yeah.
That Zach ends up his disease comes.
Kevin.
Back. Oh, Kevin. Yeah. Sorry, Kevin comes back. Kevin's disease comes back, and he ends up about to die or close or something like that. And Rittenhouse is like, hey, I can save him.
Yeah.
If you do this for me, you have to go back in time, convince Wyatt that you're pregnant and all these kind of things, and just start messing up everything. Just do it.
Real quick, too, funny. So Suzette in the chat agrees with you. Jessica's got to go.
Last one. I think that Rufus isn't going to die because of season one, but I also think that someone will get in the way.
Yes.
And, protect him.
And I think the dad's going to get out of prison in the season finale.
About him.
The dad is coming back.
Yeah. But yeah, it might be either Gia, it could be Mason, it could be a random person. It doesn't. Someone that Rufus clearly cares about will end up saving his life. And it might be Gia.
Or
we could have another Matt dogpile.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I don't want her to die. I'm just saying that because they've been talking about how, like, we're going to do this together. We're going to try to spend more time. I was like,
she can heal herself with the powers now.
That's true.
Oh, that's also true.
That's very true.
But the thing is, they'll be like...
I know, we keep going.
Yeah. Okay, we'll stop. Okay, sorry.
All right, so first of all, ladies and gentlemen, let's give a big round of applause for Karen Davis for coming in.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And Karen, if they want to keep up to date with everything you do in life, where's the best place to find you in the big wide world of social media?
So on Twitter, I'm at Karen David. On Instagram, it's a bit different. It's at Karen David Official because there's other Karen Davids. I mean, how dare they? No. They're all cool. And then on Facebook, I'm facebook.com/KarenDavidMusic.
Awesome. Now, speaking of that, folks, you can like us on Facebook. You can give us 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and feel free to give it a thumbs up while you're there. And feel free to comment down below even after the show's over, because that's how you can become our clock blocker of the week next week. But if you want to stay in touch with any of us after the show's over, Virginia, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Virginia Reyna.
And you can find me, Takira Shabre, at Takira_Shabre on Instagram and Twitter.
And you guys can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's KARIDLANE.
And I'm Alexis Torres. You guys can find me over social media at HRS890.
Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. There's going to be a lot of photos be taken as soon as we wrap here. So let's call it quits here for this episode of the Thomas After Show. We'll see you next Wednesday night for the season finale. Right here on AfterBuzz TV.
Bye.
Watch it live.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.